No matter the situation, never let your emotions overpower your intelligence. And that is the thought for today. Today's episode of 7 Good Minutes is being sponsored by The Jordan Harbinger Show. It's a fantastic podcast that I recently discovered and really enjoy listening to. Since you're clearly a fan of high-quality podcasts, I'm sure you'll enjoy it too. Jordan covers a wide range of topics with new episodes each week as he talks with heavy-hitting guests, like many of the same speakers you hear right here on 7 Good Minutes. You should be sure to check out episode 345 with Jim Quick, where the conversation is about how to upgrade your brain's limitless potential. I really enjoy this show, and I think you will too. What I like is how there's always something in every episode that I can pull out and use in my everyday life. Listen to The Jordan Harbinger Show. That's H-A-R-B as in boy, I-N as in Nancy, G-E-R, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts. And now, on with today's episode of 7 Good Minutes. Welcome to 7 Good Minutes. I'm Clyde Lee Dennis. Thanks for joining me for what I believe will be 7 of the most enriching minutes of your day. In today's episode of 7 Good Minutes, we learn how to think logically and without cognitive bias. Enjoy.
Number one is anchoring bias. We humans usually completely rely on the first information that we receive, no matter how reliable that piece of information is, when we take decisions. The very first information has tremendous effect on our brain. For instance, I want to sell you a car, and you are interested to buy it. Let's say you ask me what the price is, and I tell you $30,000. Now, if you come back a week later and I say I'll sell it to you for $20,000, this seems like a new, very cheap price to you, right? Because your judgment is based on the initial information you got, which was $30,000. You feel like you're getting a great deal. But let's say the first time that you ask me and I say $10,000, and then you come back the next week and I tell you I'm going to sell it to you for $20,000. Now it doesn't look like a very good deal because of the anchoring bias. This is just a very generic use of the anchoring bias, but another example is trees. What if I asked you if the tallest tree in the world was higher or lower than 1,200 feet? And if so, how tall? The same effect occurs if I ask you to guess out of thin air instead of giving you an anchor of 1,200 feet. The results are crazy. Number two, availability heuristic bias. People overestimate the importance of information that they have. Let me give you an example here. Some people think that terrorism is the biggest threat to the United States because that's what they see on TV. The news always talks about it, and because of that, it inflates the danger. But if you look at the real perspectives, televisions cause 55 times more deaths than terrorism. Yes, TVs literally fall on people and kill them 55 more times than terrorism. You are more likely to be killed by a cow than a terrorist, according to the Consumer Product Safety Commission. It's more likely to die from a coconut falling on your head and killing you than a terrorist attack. Even the police that are hired to protect you from terrorists, it's estimated that you are 130 times more likely to be killed by the police than by a terrorist. That's because people do not make their decision based on facts and statistics, but usually they make it on news and stories and stuff they hear from other people. It's way scarier to die from a terrorist attack than a falling coconut. And because of this, usually the news won't cover it because there's not much money in it. Number three is the bandwagon effect. People do or believe in something not because they actually do believe it, but because that's what the rest of the world believes in. In other words, following the rest without thinking. If you've ever heard someone say, "Well, if your friends jump off a bridge, would you?" then that someone is accusing you of the bandwagon effect. It happens a lot with us. I mean, a lot of people vote for a certain candidate in the election because he's the most popular, or because they want to be part of the majority. It happens a lot in the stock market, too. If someone starts buying a stock because they think it's going to rise, then a lot of other people are going to start picking the stock as well. It can also happen during meetings. If everyone agrees on something, you are more likely to agree with them on that object. In management, the opposite of this is called groupthink, and it's something companies try very hard to deter. Because if 9 out of 10 people agree on something, but the last person doesn't and won't speak up, it could squelch a great idea. Number 4 is choice supportive bias. So people have the tendency to defend themselves because it was their choice. Just because I made the choice, it must be right. For example, let's say a person buys an Apple product. Let's say it's a MacBook instead of a Windows PC. Well, he's more likely to ignore the downsides or the faults of the Apple computer while pointing out the downsides of the PC. He is more likely to notice the advantages of the Apple computer, not the Windows computer. Why would someone point out that they made a bad decision? Well, let's say you have a dog. You think it's awesome because it's your dog, although it might poop on the floor every now and then. The same goes for political candidates. Not the pooping part, but they both may suck. But one of the lesser of two evils may be more right in your mind because you voted for them. Number 5, confirmation bias. We tend to listen to information that confirms what we already know, or even interpret the information that we receive in a way that confirms the current information that we already have. Let's say that your friend believes that sweets are unhealthy. This is generally a pretty broad belief. He will only focus on the information that confirms what we already know. He is more likely to click on videos that confirm that belief, or read articles that support his argument. He doesn't go through and type, positive health effects of increasing blood glucose levels, or positive effects of eating a bowl of ice cream. No, he will instinctively go to Google and type in, how bad is sugar for you? The confirmation bias is a very dangerous in scientific situations, and is actually one of the most widely committed cognitive biases. Number 6, the ostrich bias. This is the decision, or rather subconscious decision, to ignore the negative information. It may also be an indication we only want to consider the positive aspects of something. This goes beyond not only looking for the positive information, but this is when there is negative information and we choose to ignore it as an outlier. Sometimes, even when we have a problem, we try to ignore it thinking it will go away. Let's say you have an assignment to do. It's not something that you really want to do, so you may just keep on procrastinating with it because your mind thinks that it will go away or is solved by ignoring it. Smokers usually, they know it's bad for their health, but a lot of them keep ignoring the negative implications of cigarettes, thinking it will not damage them or might stop them before anything serious will happen, because they consider themselves an outlier. To avoid finding out negative information, we just stop looking for it. Now, this could be a serious crime in many scientific research laboratories, and basically promotes ignorance.
Please keep in mind, this is about half of the entire presentation. If you're up for a treat, you should definitely listen to the whole thing. You can do so by clicking the link labeled View the Full Video on YouTube in the show notes. So that does it for this episode of 7 Good Minutes. Until next time, let's be civil to one another out there. Thanks for listening.